So we're in Advent, and we've been doing this series where different preachers are taking a different character from the first chapter of Luke, which is the birth narratives both of Jesus and of John. And Linda was going to preach tonight on John. She's unfortunately had a family emergency and is not able to be with us tonight. So I'm like, I'll preach on John, that's fine. So you've got me instead of Linda, and I hope I can like pinch hit and then look not too bad. Okay, so John the Baptist. Obviously, we're going to start with a musical theater quiz. I know you all can handle it. Here's the question. This is a real question. When John appears on the scene, as an adult, which is like our reading, like, you know, until he appears publicly to Israel. When John appears on the scene as an adult, what is he singing? I mean, saying.
Free the way of the Lord.
Love this church. Have actually been in Godspell. Okay, that line.
Thank you, Melissa,
and everybody who chimed in. That was harmless. That line specifically. This is where the Gospel of Mark begins, with John appearing in the wilderness, saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord." So that statement, that mandate, is kind of like the foundational sentiment that kicks off Christianity. Mm-hmm. Prepare the way of the Lord. This idea of being one who prepares is so central to John's role, to his purpose. It's part of his birth narrative. The angel Gabriel shows up to Zechariah to announce that Elizabeth is going to will be pregnant and have this child. And before John is even conceived, Gabriel is talking about how John will prepare the way. What Gabriel actually says is, we just heard this, with the spirit and power of Elijah, John will go before God to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, this harkens back, obviously, to Isaiah, to chapter 40, which is the basis for Handel's Messiah, and we could all, like, do a sing-along with that, too, but we won't. And the idea in Isaiah is, same thing, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And in Isaiah, what I always hear in that passage is that there is stuff we're supposed to prepare. Isaiah talks about, every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain shall be made low. So it kind of sounds like this big construction project in the desert, you know, like you get bulldozers, you know, and you get earth movers, you know, and flatten the whole thing, which is this kind of cool image, this idea that for all flesh shall see God together. You know, it's this beautiful image of justice where everybody can see on a level plane. But it does sound kind of like this thing that we're supposed to be out there doing, kind of like it's apart from us. It's like it's here and we're doing it over here. What Gabriel says is different from that. Gabriel says that this is about us preparing us, that we are the ones who are being prepared. We are the ones who are getting ready to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that's John's job. When Gabriel says that John will go before the Lord to make ready a people, the Greek word here is het oimazo. And het oimazo means to turn, to look, to face something. Now turning, of course theologically, turning is very much like that the movement of repentance. And repent is also a word that you get associate with John a lot. And the idea here is, you know, turning away from this stuff over here that's distracting you from your purpose, from God's purpose. You don't need this stuff over here. So you turn so that you can see what it is you really do need. Het oimazo. This is the same word that John will say in Mark, in the Gospels, where John appears saying, prepare the way of the Lord. That's the word. Now, that's not how that word is translated, though, in the reading we just did. In the reading we just said, Gabriel says, where'd you go? Hold on. To make ready a people. That's the heroimazo, to make ready a people prepared. So Gabriel underscores this whole idea of preparing by talking about it in using two different words in the same sentence. That's how important this is for us and for John. So in this line, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, the Greek word is kataskuazo, and that means built, constructed, kind of like we're purpose-built for this particular job. And what's interesting about these two words when you put them together is that kataskuazo is like built from the outside. That's like you bring in your construction equipment and you make them, you know, you build the things from the outside. But the heroimezo, to be made ready, is an interior description. It's describing internal strength. So you build this gorgeous building, katsuyazo, and it's a beautiful building, but heroimazo tells you that it is structurally sound. This business about getting ready, it's not just John's work, that's our work. That's our work. We're in the season of Advent, of course, right now, and as we prepare to receive Jesus, as we prepare for God to show up in the world, I always think of Advent as being about, you know, spiritual preparation, you know? And it is, but it's not just about spiritual preparation. According to Isaiah, according to Gabriel, according to John, we are supposed to be building ourselves. We are a construction project, both internal and external. So it happens that St. Lydia's right now is involved in a major construction project. And I'm not talking about searching for our new permanent pastor. There's something else that's going on right now. And interestingly, although St. Lydia's is central to it, you may not even know that this has been happening. So I want to tell you about this project and put out an invitation for us to participate in it more fully than we're participating in it now. So what I'm talking about is this thing that I'm involved in called the Stone Catchers. Now, has anybody heard us talk about this term? You have, I know. Is this a term? This is what I'm talking about. See? Y'all don't even know what I'm saying here. And I completely understand why. Okay, let me just tell you, I'm gonna tell you the brief history of the Stone Catchers Project. So this idea was conceived in 2022 when all those anti-queer and trans laws really started to get traction across the country. Now, St. Lydia's, of course, identifies as a queer church. And right as that was happening, we had been spending quite a bit of time kind of exploring what does that mean to be a queer church? Queer theologically, not so much, queer sexually. Many of us are sexually queer, but really theologically, liturgically, ecclesiastically, what does it mean to be queer? So we've been talking about that, and I started to hear this question in my speaking gigs, and a lot of people were hearing this in like pro-democracy conversations. You would hear people from progressive churches saying, we're supposed to be doing something right now, and we have no idea what it is we're supposed to be doing. So at the time I was on the board of the New York City Anti-Violence Project, and the Anti-Violence Project has this thing they call an upstander training. Is that a term that folks know? Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
The idea for an upstander training is you're on the subway, somebody gets aggressive with somebody else that they don't know, and you want to intervene in some way without escalating the situation. What do you do? an upstander training will give you strategies for stepping in. And it's basically designed to answer the same question. I know I'm supposed to do something, but I don't know what. So we came up with this idea to take the AVP upstander training and adapt it for faith communities that want to respond to these anti-queer and trans laws in the public square. Christian Sharon, who among other things is an extraordinary fundraiser, got a grant from an organization called the Wild Gifting Foundation. And in 2023, an incredible multiracial group of queer and trans faith leaders came together in retreat to start doing this work. And I want to be clear here that these are folks who, they're not just like faith leaders who happen to be queer or trans. These are people who specialize in queer theology. So we all got together and we started to work on this training. We were together for a few days. We kind of put the skeleton of it together. And in order to distinguish what we were doing from the upstander training, we dubbed ourselves Stone Catchers, which of course is this gorgeous biblical reference of catching stones that are being thrown at somebody. Christian got a second grant to finish developing the training and to pilot it. And that's where we are right now. A group of us have basically almost got the training done, and we're starting to take it to different places and offer the training. Now the project has, or the training, has three components, and in order to be part of the pilot, you have to do all three. Here's what the parts are. One, we'll go on a weekend retreat together where we do the work of het hoi mazo, like understanding in our guts, what are we doing here? Why does this matter? If we're standing around saying we should be doing something, why? What inside of us is feeling called to step into the public square and witness to progressive Christianity in some kind of powerful way? So we'll do a weekend retreat where we really get in touch with that. Then, second part, the people who are at the retreat will work together to identify one scandalous action where we will go out to the streets to witness to queer positive Christianity. And when I say scandalous action, Christian scandal is a whole thing that I could talk about. I'm not going to bore you with it right now. But kind of think, act up, and direct action. You know, where you're out making a point. You're doing something that is evocative, it's well-messaged, and there's a specific takeaway that you want folks who encounter you to take away. All the people who do the training will have three sessions of what I'm calling theopolitical consulting to plan this, to build it, katasku adzo, to do it well, whatever that action is. And then the third part of the training is do the project, do the scandalous action that you've got, that you've come up with. Every community that I have talked to about this wants to do it. Because it's kind of a big ask in terms of time, and you have to have like at least 12 people who are willing to do it, people are kind of slow to take slots. We just got our first absolute commitment from a group in Pittsburgh that is going to, and they've got a retreat center lined up, and we're totally like, go, 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 Pittsburgh. They're concerned, actually, that they're going to need to cut off the numbers, because if it gets above 25, we'll have a harder time doing the somatic aspects of the project. But anyway, I'm very excited because we've got this. We're going. Okay, now here's the thing. St. Lydia's is a key player in this project. We've raised the money. Our name is all over it. All the people who will do this beta testing will know that this is a St. Lydia's Dinner Church project. But as we just saw, so far our congregation isn't involved in it at all. And most folks don't even know that it's going on. So I've talked with Billy about it. Billy has talked to the leadership table about it. And there is interest in having St. Lydia's be one of the pilots that beta tests this training. But it's a big lift in terms of time. So it's going to have to be, if we were going to do it, and it may not be the right thing for us, but if we're going to do it, it would have to be a community commitment. So all of this is to say that if any part of you feels like this might be something that would be valuable for St. Lydia's to do, and if you are prepared to do this, talk to me, you can talk to Billy, you can talk to Jonathan, you can talk to Debbie, you can talk to anybody. I would really love to have St. Lydia's not just put our name on this, but be part of building it. We're moving through Advent right now. And whether we do the Stonecatchers Project or not, for every single one of us, now is the time to ask, how are we getting ready? How are we building ourselves up to be a people prepared for the Lord? These are the questions that launched our faith tradition. John wants to know how we're doing. Amen.